Parent Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And good evening, I am Seema Barker, and it's great to be with you all this evening.
So we are crawling out of lockdown, bursting out of lockdown. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it's definitely, it's feeling a little bit brighter and lighter, isn't it, in St. Albans at the moment.
I think you're right, though, to use different words, because I think some of us do feel like we want to burst out. But also there's that slight hesitancy, isn't there? Don't you think?
Definitely. I mean, I'd call it more than slight hesitancy, you know, because I don't know about you, but I hardly remember the rules anymore. I can't remember. Is it rule of six? Is it tier whatever? I've lost track now at this stage.
There's a lot of different things. You're right. So there's that first thing of not being sure what we can do. And I have to say, I'm the same. You know, I did look at all the regulations when they first came out, and now I've slightly forgotten. But then there's also that thing of perhaps mentioning to friends about doing the rule of six and going to a pub garden. And then there might be a couple of people who are quite hesitant, and then you change your mind, and then maybe we should just do a private garden. And then when you do the private garden, it's absolutely freezing that evening, you know, this because you haven't got the old patio heaters, maybe, which you can't get now, apparently, for love nor money. Have you tried to buy any garden equipment, Lydia? And
oh, yeah.
Everything's gone.
Everything's gone. We're too late to the party. But yeah, I mean, and then you don't want to be using patio heaters because they're really bad for the environment. So we're fire pits. But what are you supposed to do? But actually, before we continue with that conversation, let's introduce our first guest on the Parents Show tonight. We're really delighted to have Claire Healy from Raring to Go join us. How are you doing, Claire?
I'm really good. And I'm laughing because you mentioned fire pits. I bought mine about 6 months ago or something, I don't know what it was. And we've worked out the optimum time of putting your fire pit on, lighting it, to it being of any use whatsoever, is 2.5 hours. So really, you've got to plan your evening such a long time in advance.
Oh my God.
Okay, now, why is it 2.5 hours? That's really, so I don't have one. I've been to a few people's gardens now. I started calling them private gardens because, of course, that's what the COVID regulations say. I've gone to some people's private gardens. And of course, then come home with that lovely or not so lovely smell of having sat around a fire pit trying to be warm, but not quite sure it's completely worked. But why do you have to have it for 2.5 hours
secret,
then?
You see, people don't go away with that smell. We use this smokeless fuel. Somebody recommended smokeless fuel, but it must be coated in something. So it's charcoal, but it's got to warm up like a barbecue, but it seems to take 2.5 hours before it's that white hot heat.
Oh.
Otherwise, it's these huge flames, which are brilliant. They look lovely, but they don't actually give it off a great deal of heat. And half the time, if the wind's blowing, you're about to get your hair singed. So you've got to be quite careful. So by the time 2.5 hours is that we found is the optimum time, the flames have died down, there's white hot coals, and you can actually, that's the time to get your marshmallows out because it's lovely and warm and it does the trick.
And that avoids the fire pit shuffle, doesn't it? You know, wherever you are, the wind changes and blows the smoke in your face. So you're like moving around the fire pit to try and avoid it.
That sounds like the name of a bad 70s dance, doesn't it? The fire pit shuffle. But that's
copyright to me.
And I think that we've slightly changed in the way that we socialise, haven't we? Or certainly at the moment. So actually the idea of sitting around a fire pit and just being with friends and family in a garden, it's so lovely right now, isn't it? It's so necessary and we're all really enjoying it. But then there's that other complication, which is, shouldn't we also be trying to support our local pubs who have had such a bad time of it? And, you know, but then you've got some people who are not sure about whether they want to actually go into public areas right now. So it's tricky.
It is
tricky. You
said
at the beginning, Lydia, with a different wording, it's exciting, but there's an element of holding back with everybody, I think, because it's a little bit of an unknown entity, really. We don't know that suddenly the rates go up again, because we've all been to the pub, or we've all sat in gardens with six people, private gardens with six people. You know, I understand that people feel very differently depending on their vulnerability, whether or not they've had it, how badly they've had it, who they're with. You know, I mean, pub gardens are probably, they are going to be an interesting place, because we're going to see more people than we've seen for an awful long time in one smaller area. So I can understand people's reluctance to go back. But yes, I want to support my local pub and the local shops as well. We've just got to understand that we've got to be sensible and respectful of what their rules are, because they're all slightly different as well, depending on their setups. Each shop's may have a door in and a door out, but other shops are smaller that they don't have that, or you can only go in. We went for fish and chips the other night, and they only allow three people in at a time. So I suppose we've just adapted, haven't we, really?
Well, we all have to be a little bit more patient, which is not one of my virtues, you know, but you just have to chill a bit. You just have to wait a bit, put an extra layer on and hang in there. And, you know, I don't think it's the worst lesson to be learning for all of us. But I think supporting the community is so important, and particularly, you know, the local pubs. I feel so bad for them, you know, but I heard some great stories after Christmas. You know, there was all the pubs had bought in their Christmas stock of beer, and rightly so. And then suddenly the door was shut. And what happened was I'm not sure if it was camera, but all the local association of pubs set up a little stall down off London Road and sold plastic containers with the draft beer there. All the pubs were on rotation selling it, and they did really well. And they sold their excess stock and didn't make a loss on it, which, as far as I know, I stand corrected if that's not the case. But Seema.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's heartbreaking, isn't it, when you watch see the news on the TV and you see them pouring those kegs of beer down the drain because they have to. It's absolutely heartbreaking for those businesses. It's frustrating as well that so many of us want to go out right now and we want to support our local community, but the weather is really putting so many people off. And that's a real reality. You know, we're talking in quite a jokey way about the fire pits, but I was out last night in someone's garden. It was pretty cold by quarter to nine, you know, and we were there with blankets on our laps. We all had, you know, I had quite a few layers on, and still there's that slight, I'm just going to go home actually. Yeah. And so we can all remember last year when the lockdown started, when it was glorious weather. And I think we're all just feeling that frustration. So hopefully at the weekends, when we can go a little bit earlier in the day and support our local community by getting out to pub gardens for lunches, if not, you know, or maybe an early evening meal, so we don't have to deal with that cold weather. And also hopefully the weather is going to improve. I mean, I keep telling myself that every 24
hours. It is this weekend.
Every 24 hours.
This weekend,
it's going to get better.
We're actually going to go above zero at night from tomorrow.
Thank
so, but so yeah. Yeah, no, it's looking better. It's looking better. But Claire, so we'd love to talk to you about Raring to Go, and things must be hotting up again.
Yes. Well, yes, Raring to Go has been raring to gone really for a long time. We've had the last year has been, you know, it's been disastrous in terms of clubs and classes and events, and literally pretty much all the small businesses that are offering activities for children have had to close, or they've had to go online, which has been really difficult. I mean, some of them have adapted, many of them have adapted brilliantly to online classes, but I don't think it's really what kids and adults need or want. Personally, I don't think it's the healthiest way to do an activity via a computer screen. You know, I do my fitness stuff, and it's a great option, but the minute there's something else available in real life, that would be my preference. And I think for children particularly, they need that social, you know, the sociability really of mixing with other children or seeing other children in the flesh and seeing what they're doing, not just via a screen. What I have huge, huge admiration for is the classes that have just adapted everything they've done and made it work. And there are loads of them out there that actually probably will keep some of their classes online because they've been so successful. But I think there's a lot that can't wait to go back again. And that's what we're seeing now. So April the 12th, I'm a bit confused about the rules. I know when the pub gardens opened on Monday, but it meant that clubs and classes could go back as well. And I put together a feature of what was actually changing on the 12th, because it was a really big day for a lot of clubs and classes because it meant that they could open again. And I think that was such a big opportunity for them and such an exciting time for them to be able to sort of change. And I, as we said, I don't think all parents were happy to go back to something that was going to be inside. But what I wanted, the reason I wanted to put this feature together was to give parents an option of what was out there, because some are doing outdoor activities still, some are undercover, some are allowed to run the activities inside. The guidelines seem to be very varied. And I guess if it's an educational thing like schools, they can be inside. I'm not an expert. I haven't studied the all the rules and regulations because I think my brain has started to ache by it being a bit too intense. So I just sort of put together something which was telling people what was happening. And it's lovely seeing the clubs being enthusiastic about going back to opening again, and I'm so happy for them. So I've shared this feature with you because I think it's useful for readers just to have a look through it and see what's going on. But I would always say to anybody, if they're not sure about what's happening and they're not happy, or they're not sure whether they'd be happy with, excuse me, the classes as they were, then I would suggest they perhaps give them a call, give the businesses a call and talk through what their regulations are and what they're allowed to do and what they're not, or go on their websites or their Facebook pages, because they have so much information on there. But the thing that I am personally particularly excited about is that with my business, with Where to Go, we have been producing an online magazine for the last year. And in the summer, we're going to go back to print. And I'm so excited to go back to
print. Great news.
I can't wait to, you know, I mean, somebody gave me a magazine the other day and I was flicking through it and I thought, this is what it used to be like to flick through a magazine, because social media has been fantastic and online stuff has been fantastic. But you scroll past something, don't you, that's of interest and think, that's really good, I'll remember that. Then it's gone and it's disappeared forever and ever, unless you've bookmarked it or whatever. And I think that's the thing that I really love about producing a magazine, a proper imprint magazine, because you can tear up pages, put them on the fridge, put them in the cupboard. But, you know, you can share it with friends. You can sit, it's in your bag. You've got the vouchers there. You've got offers and competitions and all sorts of things that are there when you want it. And I think, to me, that's something that I'm particularly excited about.
There's something heartwarming, Claire, about the idea that regardless of the global pandemic, the urge to tear something out and put it on the fridge is still there. It's like it's a convention that will outdo this pandemic. And that's genuinely, you know, there's something quite cozy about getting back to some of our traditions that we had before, you know, and we have all got used to looking at things online, and there are some advantages, and also doing some classes online. There are advantages to people, especially with younger children, if they can't get out because of the way the day has been and they can still access things, or you know, for anybody perhaps with, you know, that with a disability that has found that they've been able to access things in the last year that they haven't been able to before. So I don't want to suggest that there haven't been some kind of silver linings there. But you're right. For those of us who really want to get out again and kind of just giving a call, having a look online, looking at the print once it comes out, and then getting in contact with the clubs is the best way to find out what they're doing. And that would be your advice,
definitely,
would it be,
Claire? Yeah, I think it's all about, I mean, their social media pages are generally people keep them more up to date perhaps than their website. So that would be my first port of call. Wherever you're going, if you are going to the pub, if you're going to a shop, you're going to a club or class, whatever, that's probably their most up-to-date information, as you know. But, you know, I'm with you on the let's have a flick through. And I'm wondering whether the popularity of American fridges has had something to do with our lack of memory. Let's tear it out, put it on the point. Yeah. Put it under a magnet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we all used to have those built-in fridges. Now we have, you know, it's the massive fridges out, isn't it? So they've got there's lots of magnetic space.
Yeah, indeed. And it is, like you say, Claire, it's amazing to see how resilient and innovative people have been. Like, I know from my son and daughter's clubs, a lot of, in the first lockdown, I think a lot of the clubs said, you know what, we'll ride it out, we'll just shut down. Online isn't for us, we're not going to be able to do it. And then, you know, by, I think, when the second lockdown happened, I think people were just like, okay, there's no end in sight, we're just going to have to push it out. So suddenly I was buying a tap board, and, you know, for my daughter to be able to do tap in the house, because it didn't make sense for her to be doing tap, you know, in her socks. And, you know, or futsal went on, you know, and it ended up just being in our dining room, and four cans separate, like, made a square that my son had to do his football practice inside. They managed to make it work, and it was absolutely better than not doing it. But it a far cry from the kind of interaction children need. But they're back at school, which is, it's just, for me, it is, so I never want to go back to that again. Not because, you know, everybody loves their children, great having them around, but it's just not normal. It's just not normal. It's not good for them. It's not good for us. It's not good for anybody, I think.
But looking at the silver linings, actually, you're right. Not only have they had to learn some resilience and also be innovative, but also now they're changing again, aren't they? So, like, I, you know, some kids that are accessing clubs for the first time ever face-to-face, because they've actually only done it online. And somebody who I know that went to actually have a face-to-face piano lesson who hadn't done that before, they'd only actually done it online. And it was just the idea of, oh, and she said to me, you know, oh, the teacher didn't look like what he looked like on screen. And I just thought, that's so interesting. And so actually our children have learnt lessons, different lessons, and now accessing the world again in the way they're going to be able to, in that kind of three-dimensional way, is going to teach them something else. So I don't know. I just quite like to hang on to the silver linings for them.
Absolutely. And the other thing, the other big silver lining, is they appreciate it now. I mean, my daughter, when I told her she was back at swimming on Tuesday, nearly burst. There's no moaning. There's no grumping. They value things, which is important, because I think we're very, very fortunate where we live, that there's so much on offer and that our children generally get to do a lot. And I think they appreciate a lot more what a fantastic life they have.
It will be interesting to see how long it takes us to get back to that, not appreciating things, not appreciating seeing our friends, not appreciating the children, not appreciating going to school or clubs or you know, all of this that has become so alien. Take something away and we want it back straight away, don't we? So it will be interesting to see whether we are able to carry on with that sort of resilience and appreciation long term.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we do a sweepstake on it now?
Yeah.
Should we say?
Yeah.
6 months, a year, 3 years, what do we think? I think it's going to be a long time. I think because it's, the lockdown has been so long and really tough for so many of us. And I haven't even been part of a business that has been affected. You know, I've managed to retain my job, and still there have been so many people that we all know that have really had that. So I think it's going to be a long time, because I think it's just been such a harsh time for all of us.
Yeah,
I think so. And Claire, do you see light now? It's fantastic that the hard copies coming back. Yeah. I mean, I'm so delighted for parents that they'll have that back in their hands again. Yeah. But do you feel things will bounce back to normal now?
Well, I'm certainly seeing an upturn. I'm certainly seeing businesses wanting to do something different, to shout about what they're doing because they're excited, because things are changing. But I agree with you, Seema, it's going to be a long old haul. And I think even by the summer, there are going to be limitations on activities. Ticket numbers at events are going to be limited. So yes, I think it will be great. I think that certainly there is light at the end of the tunnel and we are getting there and things are much more positive. But I still feel that it's not going to be like it was two summers ago when there were loads of activities going on. We were out every weekend. You know, we were doing things. We were, you know, children were, you know, had three activities every evening and football practice and everything going on. I don't think it's going to get back to that for a long time. But certainly there will be more things going on. You know, talking to people that I know, they seem to feel more positive about it. At least they can open. That's the main thing. But numbers are going to be limited. So, I mean, I would even suggest to people that if they're thinking about summer holiday clubs, look at them now. If you really want to book your child into a summer holiday club, it wouldn't be a bad thing to book them in now, because they are going to be very busy unless they're able to lay on extra classes. I don't know. That's going to be up to the individuals, really, isn't it?
That's a great point, Claire, because I mean, that was frequently the case in the Easter holidays, wasn't it? Like most any offerings were booked out quite quickly. Yeah. And I have to say I was happy for the clubs, because I just thought finally they're bringing a bit of revenue in. But it's fantastic to hear. You always have your finger absolutely on the pulse, Claire. And about the feature that you were talking about, we'll obviously share it on the Parents Show Facebook page. But anything else that you want to mention from the feature?
I won't go into specifics because there are loads. But what I've put it into sort of sections. So there's preschool. There's a preschool section. Then we've got performing arts. I mean, then we've got sort of sporting type of activities. Outdoor fun, places where you can go, ideas for parties, and ideas for mums as well and parents. And I'm adding to it all the time, really. So, I mean, even with parties, I'll just read it out, actually, one of them. They can offer kids and teens parties outdoors and indoors with a maximum of 15. And then on the 17th of May, this will increase to 30. So, you know, that is quite encouraging, isn't it, really, to know that they know what they're allowed to offer. I think that's the thing at the moment. They know what they're allowed to offer, assuming that, you know, everything goes to plan. So, yeah, so it's really just an overview of a few places that you can go to, a few things that are open. And as I say, it's changing all the time, and I'm updating it all the time with new businesses that are coming on board to tell us what they do.
Brilliant stuff. Claire, you're so good to come and share your knowledge and your advice. And in case anybody doesn't have the website to hand, can you just spell it out for us?
Yes, it's raring2go.co.uk, and it's a number 2. And if you / St Albans on the end of that, you'll get to the local site. And we've got, well, I'll tell you what, I spent a long time this week updating all the What's On activities, which has been very positive, because there are things, they're all June, July, but there are things happening. And I think that's the most exciting thing. I haven't been able to put any activities on there for months and months. So it's really nice to update that with local things. So
such a positive note to end our interview with you, Claire. But it really does. It warms the cockles knowing that, you know, you've got more and more stuff that you're able to, you know, advertise in the local area all the time. So that's great for everybody.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, as always, and for sharing all of that with us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. It's always lovely to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Same. Thanks, Claire. Take care.
Thanks.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and to continue the theme of the show this week, we are talking to Charlotte Story, who's going to tell us her story about pregnancy and giving birth during lockdown. Charlotte, you're really welcome to the Parents Show.
Thank you. Good morning, Lydia.
So tell us about yourself.
Okay, so I live in St Albans. I have three beautiful children, two boys aged 9 and 7, and now a little pink princess that was born 4 months ago in December.
Fantastic. So 4 months ago in December. You were pregnant throughout lockdown, is that right? Throughout from the start of the pandemic?
From the start of the pandemic, that is when I found out that I was pregnant. So there was definitely mixed emotions, obviously feeling overjoyed, about the pregnancy, but also just very scared about what kind of world we were in. And it was a very strange world. So there was definitely lots of mixed emotions at that time, you know, having to go to the initial scans and checkups on my own, not having my partner there. And even during the labour, you know, my husband wasn't allowed in for 3/4 of the labour. So, you know, that was quite difficult.
Yeah, I had no idea. So that's you're not allowed to have your partner with you at appointments and even throughout for most of the labour.
So definitely things have relaxed now. But at the time, you know, during my initial first checkups, you know, my first initial scan and then my anomaly scan, you know, my husband wasn't allowed to be there. And that's a really scary time for a pregnant lady. You know, you want your partner there with you just in case something comes up. So, yeah, it's a very strange time. And obviously being at home all the time as well, I think from a mental health point of view, your hormones are already all over the place when you're pregnant. And then kind of being told you're only allowed out once a day for a walk, you know, it's an out to exercise. It's very difficult.
Absolutely. And the other element is a sense of community, of course. I mean, you know, most moms try to join an antenatal group. Did you get a chance to do that?
I have to admit, I did. And I'm really glad that I did. So I did NCT online and I've met a lovely group of St Albans based mums. And I'm so glad I did because it did keep me sane, I think. And even though it was over Zoom, it actually worked really well. And now I have a lovely group of ladies that, you know, we can start meeting up in the park and having one-on-ones and things now the babies are born. And I think doing things like that is so important. You know, you still got to just keep up some kind of normality and just make sure that you know, do the best that you can, really.
And what about after your baby was born? So we just went into to the next lockdown, right? How did you cope with that?
It was in some ways it was difficult because normally you're so used to friends and family, but again, you know, we had there was lots of doorstop visits. You know, I was very careful wearing the mask, keeping it at a distance, and again trying to keep some normality. It was really difficult, I think, with, you know, seeing family, you know, well, not being able to see family, whereas normally when you have a newborn, you know, everyone wants to cuddle the baby, don't they? So it's absolutely heartbreaking that, you know, the grandparents, it took them weeks before they were even allowed one cuddle, you know, and just seeing them over Zoom. So, but on the other flip side of it, it was quite nice being in a little bubble and just enjoying those precious few weeks and not having a million visitors, you know, knocking on the door. So there is a bit of a silver lining, I think, to that as well. We've quite enjoyed some lovely family time.
Lovely. That's really nice to hear, Charlotte. So it's been a challenging year for you, and and I think for anybody who's been pregnant and had a baby with the pandemic, what do you think was the hardest part?
I definitely think the homeschooling, because my eldest children are of school age. So, you know, whereas normally you're trying to recover after having a baby and just trying to, after the sleepless nights, you know, I was having to be up at 8:30. You know, I'm printing off, you know, all the documents and things for the schooling and getting all the laptops set up and having to just homeschool, I think definitely was the hardest thing for me. And, you know, rather than just enjoying having a newborn, I was homeschooling. So that was hard.
That is really tough going. And actually, you know, I wish I'd heard your story in the middle of lockdown because I was feeling very sorry for myself. But having a newborn and doing homeschooling, that's on another level altogether. And what would you say to moms who are out there? What did you learn from the process that you think you would advise other moms who are either pregnant or who've just had babies to do?
I think just just go with your gut. One thing I really struggled with was knowing what the right thing was to do and knowing what was okay to do and what was not okay. And I just think you just have to go with your gut feeling. Don't feel under pressure. If you don't want to do something, you don't have to do it. And people should respect your opinion on that. And I definitely think keeping some sort of normality. So, you know, I do know some other ladies that have had babies that haven't been out for walks and things. And I think just go out for your daily walk. It's so good for your mental health. As much as you may have had a bad night, just going out for 15 minutes for a walk around the block will just make everything so much better. So I think my piece of advice is just, it doesn't have to stop. Like, make sure you keep going out for your exercise and walks and things like that.
Brilliant. And I'm sure being part of a community helped you remember to do that kind of thing. That's why, I mean, it's invaluable, isn't it? NCT classes or other antenatal classes are just such an important part of pregnancy.
Is it okay if I pick my baby up, Lydia?
Absolutely. Please do. Please do. So we're just going to wait for Charlotte to pick up her baby, and she's coming back, and I can see a beautiful baby girl on the screen. Hi. Hey. Who's this?
So this is Lottie.
Hi, Lottie.
Say hello.
Hi, Lottie. Just for listeners, Charlotte and I can see each other. We're not recording video, but we can see each other through the application, which is great. I'm getting a smile. Look at that. What a gorgeous girl. So that's it. She wanted in on the attention. She wanted to be in the interview as well. I just get the most beautiful smiles.
I think one thing is, Lydia, although we've been in lockdown, there has been lots of things on Zoom. So I managed to do like a baby massage class on Zoom. I'm doing a solids, introduction to weaning class on Zoom, the NCT classes. And actually, it's a great way of communicating. You know, I do think going forward, as a new mum, it's been easy. You know, sometimes you do just want to be in your pyjamas. So it's quite nice to not have to get up and get dressed, and you can just log on to a Zoom call and things. So,
well, that's lovely to hear that everything did transfer online, all the things that we needed. What about follow-up support from the NHS? How did that work?
It was very different to, you know, having my children previously. A lot of the appointments were in different places. So I'm so used to going to the doctor before with all my appointments, but this time I had to go to Hemel, I had to go to Watford, I had to go to St Albans. It was kind of all over the place. And I have to say the follow-up has been okay. I think being a third-time mum, they probably kind of just thought, you know, I know what I'm doing, and I didn't get followed up too much. But I definitely think that they do need to make sure that people are followed up because of, you know, the mental health and people being at home. I think that's really, really important that they do follow that up. So it's been okay. I'd say it's been okay. There's definitely been times when I wasn't sure, you know, when my appointments were or which checks I was having, or, you know, I had to keep asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, and you probably have the experience from having two other children to know to ask the questions, but as a probably for maybe friends of yours or first time moms, probably even more daunting, I'd imagine. And what about services like breastfeeding clinics? Have they continued? Weigh-ins? How's it happening?
Yeah, so there's the weigh-in is in St Albans, and they are quite good. You know, it's one at a time, and it's all pre-booked well in advance. And you feel very safe, actually, I have to admit. You do feel safe. You know, you're never with other people or anything. So that's all fine. The breastfeeding clinics, again, they're mostly on Zoom. You know, the doctor's appointments, the nurses, midwife appointments, most of them are over the telephone, you know, unless they need to see you, really, all on Zoom. And like I say, actually, I think that's working okay at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. You feel like it's holistic enough. You don't feel like you need that kind of one-to-one contact.
I mean, the good thing is, so the health visitors have a 20, they're there, I think, 9 till 5 every day. So if you do need to speak to a health visitor, the number's in the book and you can call at any time and ask any questions. So I think just having that peace of mind, there is a helpline manned all day by midwives is great, really.
Brilliant. I mean, Charlotte, you have given some real gems to moms out there who are listening to this. So keep up a daily walk, mind your mental health, reach out to resources, pick up the phone if you need to, keep doing everything that you would do face-to-face online, because there is a value in it. You Would that be right?
Definitely, 100%. Yeah, 100%. You know, like I say, the NCT has been fantastic. Now I've got a lovely group of friends there. And like I say, you know, if we do, hopefully we won't go into another lockdown. But if we did, I'm confident that, you know, we can still pick up the phone or go onto Zoom or something. And it just does wonders for your mental health.
Fantastic. On that lovely note, we'll let you get back to your gorgeous Lottie. Charlotte, thanks a million for joining us on The Parent Show. It's been lovely to meet you, and you, Lottie.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Sleep plenty for your mom, please.
Okay.
And we've got a special guest, I think, haven't we, Lydia? Tell us.
That's right. So tonight's show is all about how people have coped during lockdown. But I mean, I think we all feel sorry for ourselves to a greater or lesser extent. How do we cope with the latest lockdown, homeschooling, all these things? So today we're focusing on women with younger children and pregnant women. And on the pregnant women topic, I'm really delighted to have Victoria Gray joining us on the show to tell us about her experience. How are you, Victoria?
I'm very well, thanks for asking. No complaints so far, feeling good. But I'm just about to enter the third trimester. So ask me in a couple of weeks and I might have a different answer for you.
Yeah, and I'd say every single listener will have a different opinion on how you should be feeling at this stage as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Victoria.
So this is my first pregnancy. So I guess in a way it's better because I have nothing to compare to. I've spoken to sort of other mums who I'm trying to network with. And for them, they've noticed the differences, I think, a bit more. I think I've been okay so far. I think I've sort of been towards the end of the lockdown experience. But I do sort of feel for women, especially who were earlier on in the process. I can't imagine sort of being near the end and suddenly lockdown coronavirus just exploding like it did last year. So I feel that at least I've had some time to get to grips with it, really.
Yeah, so I can see that there's probably a little bit of expectation of what's going on because you've been in lockdown already. So how has your journey been so far with, obviously, you've still been seeing midwives and your contact with the hospital and everything?
So far, it's been quite good. I haven't really noticed too much difference in terms of my partner's been able to come to all the scans. The midwife appointments is just on my own, but my understanding is a lot of people do tend to go on their own for those anyway. The only difference I'd say, which I probably feel I'm going to miss out on a little, is I'm doing a course, like an NCT one, and that is going to take place on Zoom. Which I understand, one of the reasons, and I did completely understand when they said this, was because part of the process is using the bathrooms. And I can imagine a group of sort of 10 pregnant women, the process of having to go to the bathroom, wipe them all down and that type of thing. So I'm hoping that won't affect too much my ability to make new mum friends, especially it being my first. I think that's quite important, being able to meet people. But I have noticed that mums are being quite proactive. There are apps now where you can meet with people who are at the same stage. And fortunately, we can meet in the parks and things like that. So yes, just hoping that the courses, we are able to make the friends that I think a lot of you know, people sign up to these things for.
And tell us, Victoria, how long have you got? So you're in your last trimester, when's your due date?
Yes, that's right. So just 12 weeks left this Friday, which it feels like it's just flown round. So yes, due in mid-July, hoping that by then things are sort of normal, I guess, because I guess you get a bit scared at first when you hear of other mothers who sort of had to be in the hospital on their own. And I think especially if this is your first time, that could be really, really daunting. But fortunately, it looks as though my partner should be able to be there for the whole duration of the labour.
That's fantastic news, because I think getting to go to the scans together and the significant appointments, I mean, I think it must be really, really difficult to have to do that on your own. And do you think lockdown has affected how you can enjoy your pregnancy so far? How has it impacted on you?
I think it's made me really empathetic towards women who actually were pregnant without lockdown, because, you know, we're used to the train system around here, sort of Harpenden, St. Albans Way, and getting the tube. And to be honest, I just can't imagine getting up at 6-7 in the morning, you know, feeling awful, having to get on these busy packed trains at peak time, and then having to go do a full day of work and then that commute back. So it's really made me think what superwomen, you know, people were before to have to do that and carry on sort of normal life, so to speak. So in that sense, you know, being able to work from home has definitely made me feel a lot more relaxed and able to do more, I guess. So I'm really sort of grateful that actually in that sense, I'm not having to worry about commute, and also that first 12 weeks, I can just wear my pajamas and look awful and no one notice. So I'd say that's been actually a bit of a blessing, really. So yeah, I've appreciated it in that sense.
I love that, actually. I love that. First of all, I'll take the title of superwoman from having been somebody who was pregnant 3 times, not in a lockdown. And I'm sure Lydia will happily take that title as well.
Anytime.
Anytime, exactly. But I also, what a wonderful idea, because sometimes it is hard to see how anyone can enjoy anything more really in the lockdown. But it's really nice for us all to think that for you there have been advantages. And just thinking back to that whole, oh, actually, I'm 12 weeks pregnant, nobody can see I've got a bump. Am I going to actually announce to these people on the train that I want a seat? I'm desperate for a seat. It's unnecessarily stressful for people who are in the beginning of their pregnancy. So it's really nice to hear that you've had the benefit of not having to go through that. And what a lovely idea if employers can bear that in mind for future, learn, you know, for future mothers that they could potentially not have to work for the first few trimesters in an office. Wouldn't that be a great silver lining from this? Is there anything that you feel that you've missed out on though, Victoria?
Definitely seeing sort of friends and family. Like, I've had quite a few messages from people saying, my goodness, I reckon I don't think I'll actually ever see you pregnant. And that's probably quite a big reality. You know, I didn't expect that at all. So I definitely say not having sort of close relatives, perhaps being able to see them as often, that's definitely been one of them. And also, as I work from home a lot and my partner doesn't, sometimes loneliness has been quite a big part of it, because you're just sort of, you've got this whole overwhelming new experience of being pregnant, but then sometimes you feel you're just at home all the time with you and your thoughts, almost a bit too much time to think about it and potentially worry, I guess. So yes, not seeing people, definitely sort of after Christmas, I think it was definitely quite a blue time for a lot of people, January, February. And also, you know, things like, luckily I've been able to now a bit, but not being able to go to the shops to sort of, you know, try prams and all those novel things. And although people have been quite, resourceful, I've enjoyed browsing sort of on the second hand apps and things like that. So I guess there's, you know, an answer for everything. But I guess just missing out on those normal, especially first time experiences, which feels so novel, you know, going with your mum or sister to the baby shops and things like that. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that now everything's open again.
Yeah. I mean, you're so lovely and optimistic and positive about it all, Victoria. It's such a pleasure to hear you talk about your pregnancy, even, you know, missing your family and stuff like that. You'll have such a lovely time when the baby arrives, and you'll be out of lockdown and out of any kind of constraints then, hopefully, if we all keep going on the same trajectory. So how have you seen, you mentioned a couple of innovations there, have you seen other innovations in the community? Like, your NCT has gone online, so that's brilliant that will still happen. Have you seen other elements like that that have moved online to help keep the kind of normal milestones of pregnancy going?
I think social media is a big help, isn't it? Because, you know, you can share those pictures, you know, the selfies and things like that of you and your bump and get that engagement there. So you feel like it's not a complete secret. You know, there's been some good apps that I've joined where, like I said, it's different mums of all different stages. It's almost sort of like Tinder for friends, so to speak. And that's been quite good fun. And, you know, you can see people who are nearby, and they're actually organising like a picnic this week for new and expectant mums. So, yeah, there's definitely been things set up, and, you know, especially on like the social media apps as well, you can see people like reaching out. And I think I'm glad that people are happy now to say, look, I don't have many friends, or I feel a bit lonely and I'm having a baby, or I have a baby. Does anyone fancy going for a walk? And I'm glad sort of that stigma has, not that there was much stigma, I don't think, before, but I think it's okay now to say, oh, I'm actually lonely. Is anyone in my position and fancies going for a coffee or something like that?
That's fantastic. It's such a lovely development to hear that there is that honesty out there. Because I think if you know, probably before the baby arrives, you know, a lot of women when they go on maternity leave are probably a little bit lonely without the whole current circumstances. So being able to share your feelings is another great silver lining by the sounds of things. I don't know. What do you think, Seema, from your pregnancies? You know, when you suddenly stop work and you're on maternity leave before the baby arrives.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it can be a time of, I think one of the things that you said, Victoria, which is you're alone with your thoughts. And I think that, which is, oh, everything's going to be exciting, isn't it? But actually, if you're left alone with your thoughts for too long, then it's like, isn't it? Is it? And then, you know, all of the questions which you feel like you don't have the answers to. And then it's nice to also just have company to say those out loud to somebody else. Because, of course, you know that another pregnant person will probably be feeling exactly the same way. So I think it is a fantastic thing that not only are you able to meet other people, but also specifically meet up with other pregnant women and then be able to share those kind of thoughts, which is great. I suppose I was thinking one of the things about being pregnant is the amount of advice you get from other people. And maybe that's one of your silver linings, is not having to deal with that advice all the time. Because I have to say, the moment I just wanted to, you know, immediately start saying, well, you know what's going to happen, Victoria, when you start feeling like you're not getting sleep. And then I have to tell myself, no, shut up, Seema. Don't. Everybody has their own experience. Have you still had a lot of advice from people?
Do you know, I really haven't, other than the sleep thing. So every morning I just make sure I lie in extra long and purpose, thinking, won't be able to do this in a few months' time. But no, other than when I've asked out, more for sort of what do you actually need and what you don't need and things like that. I've got a few friends who are also pregnant too. And I think we've just all sort of agreed we're not going to overthink it too much. We'll all get by. We'll all do it. It's sort of, you can see the tips when you want them, but we just try not to sort of overflow with too much information. But no, I haven't had that, I must admit. Maybe I'm just lucky.
Oh, you've dodged a bullet, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think, I tell you what, the other bullet you've really dodged is strangers asking if they can touch your bump. Because of course in lockdown, I mean, I think with everybody, I think people are much more wary about touching people at all, let alone people they don't know. But it did happen.
Oh, so, gosh. Oh, no, I'm not sure I'd like that. It's a bump, not a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was anything I was ever keen on either. No. So that's another silver lining. Any others?
Oh, gosh. I guess the main thing is, like I said, and I think it was a good point you raised about companies taking it into account when women are pregnant, because I never forget in the first 12 weeks thinking, you know, my gosh, this is the most sort of biggest experience, especially the first time you could go through, you know, I felt like I spent most of my life trying not to get pregnant. And then suddenly here I am trying to get pregnant and falling pregnant. Yet you have to sort of keep it this big secret and hide it and hide the way you're feeling and how your emotions are and if you're feeling awfully sick and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely been a much more enjoyable experience, I would imagine. Being able to relax, knowing not have to do sort of big commutes and in busy places, and also the distance keeping has been nice too. So I hope that's something that is considered for future, because I think it's really has been beneficial for myself in particular, having a more relaxed work from home surroundings.
So really lovely to hear your experience and the positivity about it, Vicky, and particularly I'm so impressed with the fact that there is that level of honesty, you know, feeling a bit lonely. Can I have anybody want to go for a walk? And I hope that honesty continues and stays with us, because I think, you know, the first few weeks and months of having a new baby can be hard. And I think if you're already in a good pattern of reaching out and being honest with friends and family and new moms, I think it definitely lightens the load of the trickier bits.
Absolutely. Having that support and people that you can relate to and have frank, honest discussions, you know, I feel like rubbish today, you know, yeah. I can't do it. I'm sure I'll have a lot of people who feel the same. So yes, definitely sort of comfort in knowing that it's not just you.
Well, this isn't great radio, but just to say for all of you, she doesn't look like rubbish. She looks absolutely fantastic. She looks really, she's glowing, as they say in the pregnancy terminology. But it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Victoria, and we wish you the very best of luck with the rest of your pregnancy. And we are keeping our fingers crossed for all of us, but especially for you, that the lockdown restrictions are lifted so that you will be able to have everything by the time of your pregnancy as it should be.
Oh, thanks very much. Lovely speaking with you both.
You too, Victoria. And come back on the show with the baby in maybe 6 months' time.
Might not be so quiet in the background, but okay.
Thanks a lot.
Fantastic.
All the best.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this evening's show. And I'd like to thank all our guests for joining us this evening. Claire Healy from Raring to Go, Victoria Gray, and also Charlotte Story for sharing their experiences. Lots of gems, lots of wisdom, lots of challenges people have been through. And I think a lot of hope that we won't be going through some of the experiences again. Thanks for joining us on The Parents Show, and all the very best.
The Parents Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.